Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, one of the most, the king of kings himself, the man who always has a plan, the man that gets the job done, the man that will one day take over the world, because I am the best in the world. Thank you very much, and you're welcome. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one known, the man that pissed me off last week when he told me the news that my baby girl, the woman I'm in love with, Rihanna, is pregnant with another man that broke my heart. And I was very upset with him. Oh, I'm sorry. His name is Sean Black, everyone.
Yeah. Who's in the building have to listen to this nonsense again. Hello, everybody. Good grief.
Wow. Okay. Oh, damn. How you doing?
Yeah. I've had to deal with this almost 7 years. It's not going to change, so I should be used to this by now. But yes, Sean Black is back in the building. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, besides someone being jealous of me, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call, 347-989-8402. The number was.
I was wondering if you were going to flub that one.
Of course, I always do. You know, I don't know why. 7 years, the numbers have not changed, and I still don't remember, and I still choke on it. Oh, I wish I was choking on something else, but that's a different story for a different night. But besides that,
this is a family show. What about the children?
My kids should be sleeping right now, and we only got two listeners on the show, okay? So calm down.
Good.
But let's get right into it. All right, this weekend. This week, the Super Bowl week, the biggest game of the year, coming Sunday. And, of course, without football, without the Super Bowl, there would not be any controversy, right? Wrong. Huge controversy in the NFL this past 2 weeks. But before we get into that, Sean Brown, real quick, before I forget, who is your pick to win the big game Sunday night?
Even though we got 6 days to go, I'm looking at the Rams as the logical choice. I think the emotional choice for a lot of people would be the Bengals. But if I have to go and pick somebody, I'm going to pick the Rams. And the reason why I'm picking the Rams is, quite frankly, that front seven is absolutely dominant. I've looked at that defense all year, and Von Miller and Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and all of those defensive linemen, and then Jalen Ramsey out there doing what they've been doing this all year long defensively. So I think that's where it's going to be. And with all of the pressure that I've been seeing on Matt Stafford, and, oh, he couldn't do it the 12 years that he was in Detroit, now you get a chance to see him with a team and some wide receivers, an offensive line and a running game. And as long as he doesn't make any mistakes, I think the Rams can win this.
Well, and to your point, it's not the I'm like split, but I'm going for the Rams overall, you know. Because if either team wins, I'm okay with it, you know.
Yes.
But they both have a good history overall. But Stafford, he has to win this. But to your point, Sean, all these years, you know, we've been going through dirt. He had to shut up the critics. Like, I get it, guys. But what's the point of being MVP? What's the point of going to the playoffs? What's the point of having all that money if you don't win the big one? You know?
Yeah. Football's the ultimate team sport.
Yes. Exactly, ultimate team. And he has the team, you know. Not like he's carrying this team on his shoulders all the way. He has a great offense, great defense. If he does not throw any interceptions, I think he'd be okay. The Rams don't have this all the way.
That's where it's going to come down to, those turnovers. And Joe Burrow, with the team that he has with Cincinnati has as good of a chance as any team to win the Super Bowl between these two. So don't be – like I said, I think the Rams will win, but if the Bengals win this game, it shouldn't really be an upset per se, the way that the Bengals have played, because every game that they played has literally been a quote-unquote miracle with all of the come-from-behind victories that they've had to endure during the playoffs.
Yes. They play with heart, they play with determination, and they play with hunger. You know, they got hot at the right time, as they say.
Yes, they did.
You know, unlike the Dallas Cowboys, they've been hot all season, and they went cold turkey in the playoffs. But that's another show, another topic, another night, of course. How about the Dallas Cowboys?
Exactly. Yes.
Well, back to the controversy that's going on in the NFL right now. But this is not like exactly a sports thing, ladies and gentlemen, but this has to be, it's more like a race thing. Us talking about race on the Absolute Truth. Wow, what's the
first
time?
First time in almost 7 years. We're going to talk about race? You got to be kidding me.
That's right, man. The stuff that we hear and listen and watch over the last few years is just mind-boggling and make you want to scratch your head. But besides that, excuse me, I just have to let that go. in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, there are, what, 32 teams, I believe, Sean Black, or 34?
32 teams.
32 teams.
30.
And out of all the coaches, ladies and gentlemen, there have been only one Black coach. There was two, but he got fired. Brian, you know me, Sean. I forget names easily.
Brian Flores. Yes.
Brian Flores was a head coach for the Miami Dolphins, who got fired a few weeks ago. The team, he turned that team around within 2 years. They lost. They were like 1-7, and they won the last 8 games, and it was very close. Of winning, it was like a game away of making it to the playoff. But it was just surprising how he turned his team around, a Black coach. But he got fired, and then there was a bombshell. He's suing the NFL. Why, Sean Black, is he suing the NFL?
Well, as you had just alluded to, Brian Flores, one of the rare instances of an African-American coach, which is kind of like seeing a shooting star in the sky. You know, you may see it, but it doesn't happen that often, and it's sometimes as bright as it can be. You get a chance to see it, maybe that's something that you would actually see more of, but it's rare to see. Just like in the NFL, it's getting rarer and rarer to see not only a Black NFL coach, but a Black NFL coach that actually is successful. Well, we've had successful coaches. We had Lovie Smith, who actually is, from what we're hearing, is going to potentially get the job with the Houston Texans. So that helps out. But the only African-American coach.
I wonder why.
Yeah. The only African-American coach that's in the NFL up to this point had been Mike Tomlin, who was the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's been there because of a rule that was put in place called the Rooney Rule. Back in 2003, Art Rooney and Dan Rooney, who are the owners of the Steelers, they implemented a rule, at least with the competition committee, to try and help minorities kind of get fast-tracked into getting the opportunity to get head coaching jobs, to get GM jobs, team president jobs. And it did not really get to the extent that the rule was supposed to be there for.
Well, so to your point, to explain this further, so if I'm an owner, a white owner, all the owners of the NFL, ladies and gentlemen, are white. Go figure. It's my job to interview two or three Black people or black people for executive or coaching position, but that doesn't mean I have to hire any of them, right?
Correct. And the issue is that owners, bosses, employers at any job, literally, they, one, do not want to be told who to hire and can't be, quote-unquote, made to hire any one or two or whoever they decide is supposed to get the job. The Rooney Rule is supposed to open up the floodgates so that assistants can get looked at, so that they have a kind of like an open opportunity to be able to get into the league and get those coaching jobs.
Yes. It's one, I'm sorry to cut you off. It's one of the things that really pisses me off, per se. It's like, it's a good rule, it's a sad rule at the same time. Like, we need this type of rule to interview minorities for a position, knowing that there are great minority people out there. I'm like, I believe we should not need this rule. Well, fortunately, we need this rule. But to your point, this rule is in effect, but it doesn't mean they're going to get something out of it. It's like, I need to interview because I had to, but I don't have to hire you. That makes you look like a fool. But what was the problem with the Brian Flores trying to get a coaching job?
Well, here's where the coaching part of it gets sticky. Brian Flores, as you just mentioned, he'd been with the Dolphins for 3 years. And in the first year, obviously, the Dolphins were coming off of an up-and-down year. The previous year, they had a chance to go to the playoffs. They had lost their starting quarterback to the Titans. They wanted to move on. They had one of the top picks in the draft, and they were able to go and draft a quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, who had been injury-prone going in with a bad hip, but was going to be their franchise quarterback. In the 2 years since, they had had success. Last year, as you just stated, they started off 1-7. They reeled off a whole bunch of wins, and they were literally a game away from making the playoffs. With a team that had so many injuries and all of the things that would happen when you have a young quarterback and you have a young team that you're trying to build, the rapport between the head coach, the GM, and the rest of the team has to be on a certain level for the team to succeed. Now, what has happened before with lots of other coaches, we have seen plenty of coaches in the NFL have the opportunity to not only succeed, but to also fail. We've seen lots of coaches who have been in the league and been with a team 5, 6, 7, 8 years before the ownership, the team president, the GM decides to move on. African-American coaches are not afforded that. Give you a perfect example. Like I talked about the Houston Texans. They had an opening with their head coaching job. But when the season ended, there were 9 coaching jobs open. And, of course, for a very long time, not a single African-American or minority head coach was hired. The Houston Texans had David Culley, who came in after a lot of upheaval. We had the starting quarterback that was their franchise quarterback is getting sued in litigation with sexual assault, so he was gone. Their star wide receiver the season before, they traded him away. So this team was in turmoil. David Culley stepped in and calmed everything down, and they won 4 games in a season where they shouldn't have won any of them. And what happened? Oh, you righted the ship. Oh, let's fire you. Oh, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that I also we talk about is that a lot of other coaches in the NFL, a lot of white coaches that have tenure, that have been in the NFL long enough, are able to develop what we call coaching trees, which is they will have assistants within their wings that have coached with them or under them for 5, 6, 7 years. And then those guys will eventually be the next head coaches in the league. And you have Bill Belichick, who has won 6 Super Bowls with the Patriots and has had a ton of assistants get head coaching jobs. African-Americans don't get that point. You don't hear about, well, under the tree of Mike Tomlin, he has 15 assistants over his 10 or 15 years as a head coach getting head coaching jobs. And the reason why that doesn't happen is because a lot of African-American coaches, not only do they not really get those opportunities, but if they have had the head coaching jobs and there are only really one exception as an African-American coach in recent years, and that was Marvin Lewis, who was the head coach of the Bengals that had the head coaching job for 16 seasons. The same Bengals that are in the Super Bowl this year. He got 16 years, but they never won a playoff game. And you're not going to be able to succeed, usually, from that situation. That is the exception to the rule, because most African-American head coaches, they may get 2 years, maybe 3 years, and then they're gone. We saw Anthony Lynn, who was the head coach of the Chargers. He got 3 years, and he was gone. Vance Joseph, who was the coach of the Broncos, he got, what, I believe 2 years. Doesn't really get a chance to happen as often. I wonder why.
But the controversy of Bill Belichick, that he texted the wrong Brian at a talk last week, congratulations, you got the job, because the New York Giants was doing interviews, well, quote-unquote, doing interviews for their head coaching position, but it was not just Brian Flores who got the job. It was a different Brian who got the job, but Brian Flores was scheduled to be interviewed by the New York Giants to get the job. It's like, that's a crazy concept.
Well, the interesting part about that is, as I said before, head coaches get a chance to have their own tree, branches of people that have coached under them to spread out and get jobs. Brian Daboll, who is the offensive coordinator with the Buffalo Bills, coached as an assistant under Bill Belichick years ago, was in Alabama as an offensive coordinator and won national championships before he took the offensive coordinator job with the Buffalo Bills. Brian Daboll is now the head coach of the New York Giants. And in this exchange, Brian Flores went to talk to Bill Belichick through a text message and asked, well, how's everything going? What do you think is going on? He said, well, congratulations, Brian. You got the inside track on the job with the Bills. I mean, with the Giants. Congratulations.
The Giants.
The only problem is he got the wrong Brian. And incidentally, Flores hadn't even interviewed with the Giants yet. 3 days later is when he was supposed to get the interview, and Daboll already got the job as per the text message that Belichick sent back, getting the wrong one. So I think Belichick is kind of exposed what happened by accident, and maybe if he just decided to keep last names in his phone contact, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But, yes,
listen,
but this belies the bigger problem.
I'm not mad at Belichick, but I do the same thing. I text the wrong Sean. I got Sean Blank. I got Sean the Idiot. They're both the same guys to me, so I understand completely what he's going through right now. It's that old man syndrome, you know. But
here's something that I'm gonna bring up. I want to just bring this up quickly to kind of give you the idea of a lot of the nepotism and the way other coaches get jobs that kind of hurts African-Americans further. Out of 792 coaches that have been in the NFL over the years, 111 of them have been related to other coaches. This is the coach's son. This is the coach's uncle. This is something along those lines. Whereas as far as head coaches go, there are 32 head coaches in the NFL. 11 of them are related to other assistant coaches in the league. And when you have that kind of surplus of, well, we have all these coaches, but we don't have as many assistants, 45 to 46% of the assistants in the NFL are African American or Hispanic. Think about that. Mm-hmm. There is a pool of African Americans and Hispanic coaches that are there in the league. A lot of them have played before in the league, that have not gotten the opportunity to show that they should be head coaches. The perfect example, the name that has always popped up, is Eric Bieniemy. He is a former running back for the Chiefs, has been the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs for the last 4 or 5 years. As a matter of fact, he's been the offensive coordinator for the team since Andy Reid became head coach after he left the Eagles head coaching
job.
And he, as an offensive coordinator, has had one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. And you're going to tell me that he having Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs team, who he has been let to know, and this just shows you how sad it is that Andy Reid has to let people know this, Eric Bieniemy is calling the plays of the offense. This is Eric Bieniemy's offense. He's the play caller, and he has not gotten a head coaching job yet. What have the Kansas City Chiefs done?
Or interview. Or even an interview.
Exactly. So what have the Kansas City Chiefs done in this 4-year span? Four AFC Championship games, 2 Super Bowls. That should tell you something.
But to add more to what you're saying, there have been other jobs after the lawsuit came about that everybody's talking about it. And I remember calling Sean Bradford the next day that the Jacksonville Jaguars, they hired someone else. They hired a coach that's white. I forgot another team hired a coach that's white. I'm like, wait a minute. Does anybody is not listening or paying attention to the lawsuit going on that Floyd, that Bryant said they're not hiring enough minority coaches, and you have 2 of the team that decided to hire white coaches anyway, and there's still 2 slots left?
I'll give you one more example that kind of belies how the NFL has totally disgusted not only me, but lots of other people in their hiring practices. Like I told you before, Lovie Smith, African-American head coach, probably going to get the job, if they haven't announced it already, that he's going to get the Houston Texans job. Before they went to Lovie Smith, the person that was actually in the running for the head coaching job is Josh McCown. For those that understand or those that follow football and know who Josh McCown is, he was a career backup quarterback in the NFL. Most recently, I believe the last team he played for was either the Jets or the Browns. But that's not the case. He retired a couple of years ago to be a high school coach, and they were willing to go out and get Josh McCown and interview him for their head coaching job over guys, African-American coaches, who either had NFL experience as a head coach or not, like Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator of the Rams, or, like we said, Lovie Smith, or Eric Bieniemy. Any of these names that come up, Jim Caldwell, who most recently coached the Colts, African-American head coaches or coaches that have had NFL coaching experience. And up until recently, a lot of the hires in the NFL, the coaches that got hired had no head coaching experience on a professional level. So this is part of a bigger problem. But this also kind of is the microcosm of what has happened in society, where we see lots of people that are qualified as African-Americans or minorities in any job not getting the opportunity themselves to be able to succeed and then do a lot of the same things that are afforded to a lot of other people that don't have the same skin complexion as they.
And I would like to add 3 factors to this, then we move on. All 32 owners are white. And they're still old white men, for the most part. They're still in their old ways of running things. Number 2, didn't last year NFL did a whole campaign of Black Lives Matter, or we will do better with equal equality? Well, this is the reason why Colin Kaepernick took a knee many years ago and became a starting 11. And number 3, more than 70% of the NFL players today are black. Don't you want a coach who could relate to most of your players overall? I'm just saying. And another one. Did Brian Flores sacrifice his career with this lawsuit? Basically, does he have a scarlet letter on his chest right now?
basically, I would love to see him in the NFL, but you want to know something? It's frustrating, but this is also part of the why this argument is continuing to be made. And if you are a sports fan or anybody that looks at the situation, you should be enraged because, once again, he now has to pretty much be a martyr to get progress for people that are behind him to bring light to a situation that was supposed to have been taken care of a long time ago. Colin Kaepernick took a knee to protest what he did protest, which was racial inequality and police brutality on a national level. And then a lot of people took his protest and changed the narrative about something that it wasn't. And now he has not been in the league. It's going on 7 years since he's been out of the league. He's never going to play in the NFL again. So we know that. Now we look at Brian Flores, an NFL coach, 3 years with the Dolphins, a Brooklyn native, which a lot of people looked at as this could be the inside track of them maybe going to the Giants, because the Giants of a lot of the NFL teams needs to break that old boys network mentality of the thought process of NFL teams not hiring African-Americans. And as we've seen, we know the GM of the Giants that was hired was an executive with the Buffalo Bills. So that was a hire within that tree to get somebody that was with Buffalo to become the head coach. But the problem is, as I said before, Brian Flores is now all but assured himself as being another martyr on the road to getting progress. And it should not have to come down to that. And that's the frustrating part of this whole entire argument.
Okay, talk about Scarlet Letter. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you K-Dog, then Brother B. Go ahead, K-Dog. Any final thoughts before we move on?
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. Well, you know, like, I'm listening to you guys, and I agree 100% with the points that you guys are putting up. And I look at it like this, like, hey, it's like black, whenever you're black, you always get passed up for a promotion. It's a shame, especially with the NFL. As much money as we put into the NFL, as much as we contribute to the NFL, when it comes to being a head coach of a team, you think we'd get a break, a better break. But that's not the case now. We've seen this time and time again. Always getting passed up.
You know the NFL is on track to make about $11 billion this year, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Think
about it.
That's all?
Yeah, $11 billion. And you know what? Like I said, as much as we as black people, we contribute to the NFL, but you think we'd get a break? Nope. They ain't going to give it to us. Passed up. And like you said about Colin Kaepernick, who took a knee.
Because black people are stupid. The majority of us are stupid.
Hold on.
Yes, they're stupid.
Let me go get my tea right now. Brother B,
you know what it is? Brother B, we spoke about this before off the air, and we've had conversations about this, about the lack of education when it comes to economics. We spoke about this before.
It's not just economics, first of all.
Right.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Listen.
Greetings and salutations.
Oh.
My whole attitude is F the NFL. Listen, how many of us dominate the sport? What's the percentage of black people? Black men.
71% of the NFL. 71%.
71% of slaves. Say what they want. Anybody can say what they want, but they're the slave mentality. Because my whole thing is this. It's that bad relationship analogy. Why should I keep messing with you if it's a bad relationship? I don't care how much you're paying. Listen, it's like, you know, you're in a bad relationship. Yeah, you know, the chick look good and she keep giving you sex all the time and giving you sex all the time, but the relationship is bad. She's out. She's not cooking. She's not cleaning. She's not doing anything for you. She wants to argue all the time. She steps out on you a couple of times, but then she come home. She say, "I'm sorry." Give you some good head. Give you some this and some that. And you're good, and you forget about everything. And it's a bad relationship. So why do we keep fostering the bad relationship? This is why I say
exactly.
I'm sorry, but then again, I'm not sorry. Our people are stupid. Some of them are stupid. Some of them are gullible. And all they believe in is looking at the shiny things. That's all. This is not a unified front when it comes to us. This is why we keep getting bamboozled and smacked over the head, shot in the back, shot in the face, and everything else. This is why we keep getting disrespected, because we disrespect ourselves.
My final word on this segment, before I throw it back to you, my final word on this is for those that are wondering why the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, hasn't done anything. Well, I'll tell you why. Roger Goodell, his job is to answer to the owners. His job is to make those choices in lockstep with ownership while being, quote-unquote, judge, jury, and executioner on the heavy-handed discipline that they do with the NFL, which has been a problem. He is unilateral control when it comes to that. But when it comes to implementing certain things and those kinds of issues with the Rooney Rule and all the other stuff, he is at the beck and call of the owners, and his job is to make the league and the owners money. Roger Goodell getting paid $58 million at the end of this season. That's his paycheck for what he's getting in the NFL. So he has literally 58 million reasons to make sure that the owners make as much money as humanly possible, and then saving face by going on camera and saying, well, Black Lives Matter. We care about racial equality. Putting the logos on the helmet and the logos on the field.
Well,
meanwhile, the same thing continues to happen over and over again.
And that's what the owners hire him for, to do his job. He worked for the owners, you know. So he's doing his part right now. But talk about free speech and all that good stuff. Brother B is a fine guy with free speech and all that stuff. But Joe Rogan, that's Brother B's best friend in the world right now. He's in a lot of trouble lately with Spotify, the music company. Sean Black, quick story about Joe Rogan. And basically, with free speech, Spotify has the rights to get rid of him despite of free speech?
Well, Spotify being a podcast/music entity, they have given a platform to people that want to do podcasts and radio stations with licensed music and those kinds of things. Celebrities have used that as a platform to go ahead and do radio shows and podcasts. We know Joe Rogan, for those that don't know Joe Rogan, he is a stand-up comedian who also did play-by-play for the UFC, because he is a diehard MMA fan, and also has had podcasts on the air for, I believe, the last 12 years. And he got a huge following over the last few years.
And
on
Spotify. I forget he was on the host of Fear Factor 2 back then.
Oh, yes. Yeah, for those that like to see people eat ground up roaches and drink snake blood and swim in scorpion tanks, be my guest. But yes, that's where a lot of people that never heard of Joe Rogan first heard of him, as the host of Fear Factor. Now, his podcast is extremely popular because he gets celebrities and then he talks about everyday things and then he then has recently gotten much more political. And a lot of it has gotten to the pandemic and COVID mandates, et cetera, et cetera. And he's gotten a lot of flack over those kinds of things. And initially, Spotify started to say, you know, you can't go ahead and start saying a lot of these things that are classified as misinformation. Well, that's one ball of wax. the other ball of wax that he's gotten into recently now is that it's come to the attention of a lot of people that he said a whole lot of racial slurs over the last 12 years on various podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was brought to light in a video. Yes. And this has gotten him into trouble. Now, the argument that the Hot Rod is bringing up for this pretty much this topic in this discussion is that Spotify has removed, I believe, 100 episodes of his podcast based on the COVID misinformation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you also have to look at the racial slurs that he has now admitted that he has used and has now apologized for. Now, as we know in this country, it is freedom of speech. You are free to say something. But as I've always said on this show, freedom of speech does not exalve you from freedom of consequence. You have to own up to the things that you say, and going forward, he's going to now probably catch a backlash from using those words and having to now own up to that stuff.
I have not apologized. Okay.
Joe's back.
That's right. This is Joe Rogan. And I have not apologized at all.
He never does. He never does.
Hey, Hot Rod. Hey, Sean. How you guys doing?
Hey, Joe, what do you think about your boy, Joe Rogan? Doesn't he have the right with freedom of speech? Well, he sounds just like you.
I don't. See, he's a comedian. Now, I'm going to doubt that he used the N-word just off camera and got caught on mic. He probably did it in his act. And if he did it in his act, I'm
that.
Sure.
But go ahead.
You didn't see the video?
No, I haven't seen the video.
There was a video where he was talking with two people, and, you know, he said something about they brought him somewhere, and he looked around, and it was like Planet of the Apes. There were so many black people around, he couldn't believe it.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on the microphone.
He said it right on the microphone. He didn't have to necessarily say the racial slur, but it's just the language that was used.
Yeah, but there was other videos where they put together a collage of him saying the N-word.
No shit. You know what that sounds like?
You know what my thing is? If Eminem doesn't say it, why should anybody else say it? Be allowed to say it.
Well, really, nobody should say any kind of racial slur unless you're in a fight with somebody, and then I think anything goes.
I agree with that statement, Joe, because I understand when you're about to fight with somebody, you say anything to take that person off. And we talk about that in the press, you know. Yeah, so I see your point. See?
You're going to get into a physical fight with somebody. You call somebody a wop, a spick, kike, a mick. You're going to say anything in order to piss that person off, because you're going to get your ass kicked. Or you're going to try to kick his ass, and I think to me that's acceptable. Other than that, everybody has racially motivated thoughts. Everybody's thinking. Black people think when they're alone or with their buddies that if they had a coworker with them and the guy was Spanish, they're thinking, you know, he's the S word, or for the Jew is, you know, you're going to use the K word. But that's between and amongst yourselves. That's not being in front of the face of the person that you don't like. So I think it's okay to be racist. Racist has a fluid definition, but I think it is okay in your mind to be disparaging in any way towards another person, as long as you don't carry out that particular thought in a physical way. You know, if I don't like you, hey, fuck you. But if I go over to your house and I do something to your property, or I do something to sabotage your car, that's different.
Okay.
We're not living, sadly, we don't live in the days of Archie Bunker. anymore, where it was on TV and it was kind of like it was a funny thing. Like they, you know, it was serious,
yeah,
but at the same time, it wasn't serious. You know, it was serious. It's like they tried to take the sting out of it. But the sting has always still been there. My thing with Joe Rogan,
right,
he's very ignorant. I never followed Joe Rogan. I've never paid attention to him at all. Don't really care for him. But right here is just a prime example of, you know, there's the privilege. And how is it that you just take 100 episodes off and ask him, why don't you just take him off? Period.
Mm-hmm.
Because my whole thing is, if you want to talk freedom of speech, hold on. If you want to talk freedom of speech.
Oh, hey, Brother B, I didn't know you were there.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Joe? Nah, it's all good. So if you want to talk freedom of speech, what's the difference between what he's been saying compared to what Oprah just said? I mean, what Whoopi just said. What's the difference?
True. Yeah, that's what I'm about to say, because to your point, Brother B, Joe Rogan made $100 million contract with Spotify. You know,
mm-hmm,
he's been saying this stuff over for the years. So all of a sudden, is a problem now? Wait a minute. He became his racial slur on the radio, and no one did not say anything till now?
It's only, the only time I'm really saying something because
exactly,
first of all, they're going to show you how much black people really probably watch the show. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, or pay attention to the show. Number two, Spotify is not going to say anything because they're making money off it. See, the whole thing is they didn't get caught. So now they got caught. I never supported Spotify. I don't really care about Spotify. And, you know, this right here, I mean, I think a lot of people, as with like India Ari has said, she wants her music pulled off. Even Steven Tyler from Aerosmith went on camera saying that he's not, they're taking money from the artist. So in that case, you know, if you're going to take money from the artist and then you're going to do all this other stuff too, then you're down with Spotify. Like, I really don't care. Everything just
Sharp.
But Joe Rogan is not.
No, he is.
Sean Black. Remember back then when Howard Stern was the a.k.a. the shock DJ? People tuning in to listen to what he said, but he was a shock jock. Isn't Joe Rogan like a shock jock now? So...
Yeah, but the difference between Howard Stern and Joe Rogan is Howard Stern is actually good at what he does.
Yeah,
also,
exactly.
The fact that when Howard Stern was doing what he was doing, Howard Stern was doing it over terrestrial radio, which makes it even more shocking because you had advertisers in 8-minute breaks. In between, you get 8 minutes, you get 2 minutes to sell, 2 minutes to buy. And in that amount of time in morning drive radio, afternoon drive radio, he's got to go and say and do something that's going to get attention for the advertisers. And Howard Stern has said some of the most crass things and have done so many stunts and things over the years, but that was his brand. He also knew that the way terrestrial radio changed, he was going to take that brand and put it on over-the-air satellite radio and bring the advertisers with him.
So he never used the N-word. He never used the N-word.
But he exposed women and they would have sex on the air or something.
A lot of people considered him controversial because they said that he was, like Hot Rod was about to say, he degraded women. And he was very controversial in a lot of the things he said.
Howard Stern said everything about everybody. That's the thing that made him who he is.
He was literally the reason why Archie Bunker worked. The reason why Archie Bunker's character worked then is because Archie Bunker's character was a racist, but he was racist towards everybody. If he had a racial issue with one group more than another, the character couldn't work. And that was the appeal of watching All in the Family at the time. And then he would get checked as the show went on.
So, in other words, he's out with Joe, who's on right now. So, Joe, anything else you'd like to add on before we move on?
Well, for one thing... I was a fan of Howard Stern back in the 70s and 80s. And I've even got over a dozen cassette tapes that I taped from him. So,
wait a minute. Are you like 25 years old? How do you know about Ulster back then? You're like 25 years old now, Joe.
That's right. I'm 25. I have a time machine. I let nobody know about it. But, yeah, but he was always disparaging of blacks because you went to school with black people who kicked his ass every day. And if you ever noticed his particular skits about blacks, he always put blacks down. Now, with regards to women, I didn't think of him as that much of a sexist. But I did think of him as somebody who really ran out of his anger. Huh?
No.
What, B?
People used to scream about that. That was just crazy.
I know.
Howard Stern did what he did, man. He was the king of radio.
He was absolutely the king of radio, and he was the self-proclaimed king of all media, which he wasn't. But when he took his act from terrestrial radio to Sirius, then he could do anything he wanted. But he never used the N-word. I don't believe, even on Sirius, he could say fuck and shit and all that kind of good stuff.
Remember, the sidekick was Robert. It was a black woman. So if he used the N-word, I'm sure Robert back then would have kicked his ass right there on the show, on the air, right away.
But I remember an episode when Spike Lee called in and admonished Robin for not speaking up more for black people when Howard Stern went into his, it wasn't an act. Howard Stern doesn't like black people. All right. When you get your ass kicked by a certain group every day at high school, you're not gonna have very, very kind feelings towards that group when you get out.
That's understandable. That's understandable.
Yeah.
He was speaking from experience.
Right, and what's her name? Robin stood up for him.
Yeah. Oh, Kato, last word. Kato, go ahead. Last word before we move on.
All right, go ahead and move on to the next, man. We already talked about it. Come on, man.
All right, this is towards Brother B, because Brother B pissed me off this morning on Facebook. Brother B, you sent me a video which caught my attention. This might be a potential topic for your show tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio called The Menu. He sent me a video about guys speaking the difference between a black woman and a Spanish woman. How a Spanish woman, the way they was raised differently. A Spanish woman was raised to take care of the man, you know, to cook for the man or something like that, while a black woman was raised to be independent. So if I go over to a black girl house and I pick up the plate and basically if I clean up after myself, the mother of the black woman will be like, you know what, that's a good guy. He's independent, blah, blah, blah. If I went to a Spanish girl house, and I clean up after myself, the mother will curse out the Spanish girl, her daughter, why are you not cleaning up after your man? So, Brother B, why are you sending that video? And overall, I can't relate to that video. I'm not going to lie, because I date a black woman and a Spanish woman, so I can't relate. But overall, is this because a woman black woman got that independent thought process? Is that the problem we have
having
today, once again?
You know what the issue is? Nowadays, women are very disrespectful towards the legacies of our mothers and grandmothers who built the homes. They don't, nowadays, it's just a lot of it is a house. Women, we have a generation of women that are not building homes. They're just playing house. And it's sad. For them to call our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and even, you know, some of our mothers weak because they were subservient or they followed behind a man, it's totally stupid because that's not what it was about. I think the whole thing is this, the mentality is twisted. Okay, so you have Spanish women who, that are treat, you know, they're men different. You know, yeah, they'll serve them. You know, they'll do this and that. But it's the same thing that, you know, women used to do years ago. If you watch some of the old shows, Leave It to Beaver or, you know, Brady Bunch, whatever shows you watch, even All in the Family, what did the women do? They fixed the plate for the husband or they fixed the plate for the fathers or they fixed the plate for the men. That's what it was. But now all of a sudden there's this new attitude of independence. I'm not doing that. He can get his own stuff. See, that's where everything is just kind of gone wrong. And I mean, I do believe that there's some truth to what, you know, the guy said in the video. Like, yeah, there is a difference when, you know, dealing with a different ethnicity of woman here than other than, you know, some black women. Don't get me wrong. There's still some black women out here that still keep it, you know, humble. But what we're seeing is, you know, out in the media and on TikTok and every place else, we're not seeing the type of black women that are making homes. We're seeing the type of black women that are just playing house. And that's it.
I like to say something very, very quickly about the women of old.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were not subservient. All you got to do, because, B, you were talking about old programs. If you still watch Leave It to Beaver, Donna Reed Show, and The Honeymooners, and even Make Room for Daddy, and even Father Knows Best, yes, what they did do, they knew their role because they weren't working, that they had that hot meal at home at 6 o'clock when the father came home. But they were not subservient. Take a look at those movies and TV shows again. They stood up for what they believed when they were right. And they just did not roll over like women today are saying that they did. If you have grandmothers and mothers who are older living today and talk to them or remember how they treated their husbands, okay?
Yeah.
Kinder, yes. Subservient in the way that women today are trying to make them out to be as doormats? No way. I challenge every chick. Take a look at the old TV series, and you will not see a subservient woman. You will see an accommodating woman.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Joe, but, you know, most females would say, that's the old way. This is 2022. We don't do things like that anymore. Get out of the old. This is the new. We are independent. We work. We take care of the kids. You know, they will come down their list.
Yeah.
They always compare their list to our list, which is not really fair. We're both hardworking people. We're both parents. We're both in this together, if I'm not mistaken. But some people forget about that.
Right. If that's going to be on your show tomorrow menu, I hope to be there early. I want to stir the pot.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready to stir that pot. I don't know.
Yeah, because you know what? You better be prepared. All I got to say is this. Brother B, you bring that topic tomorrow, be prepared for war. Because
think we had enough for the week before.
Because you know what it is? When it comes to, because you look at the roles of the women, the roles of the women have
changed. Be careful, K-Dog. I can't defend you.
Yeah, I know. I'm being careful. No, I'm being safe. I'm playing it safe. Because you know what it is? Women's attitudes. The attitudes have changed.
Here we go.
Like they say, oh, back in the days, or I'm not stepping back into the 50s, or I'm not the subservient, I'm not the homemaker. It depends. Some women choose to be the homemaker. You understand? Some women choose to be the housewife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the woman
wrong
wants,
can
and
I?
Nothing wrong
listen,
with that. I'm not saying
listen,
if the woman
you
choice,
don't you don't find cats playing dogs or dogs playing cats, right? Right.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm.
I like to say something about what K-Dog just finished saying. You just finished saying you're going to be careful. Let me say this. We are men, and I am fucking tired of being careful. I don't give a shit what chicks think as long as I'm
because
right.
You know what it is? They get. You know what it is?
Okay.
I'm going to say something, Joe. I'm going to say something right now. In this era right now, people are too damn sensitive. Bro, the
that's,
men,
yeah,
the
you're
women.
Right.
But women, you know what it is? You can't, and you can't even, and you know what it is? I learned this. As a man, if you were to say something to a woman about that, like saying like this, hey, women choose their own thing. Or what are you trying to say? I'm like, listen, you look at the women, okay, if a woman chooses to work, then she could work. If a woman chooses to stay at home, she stays at home. Take your pick. You pick what you want to do.
You know, we live in an era where you can't be a man anymore, simply like that.
No, you can't. You can't even say. You can't even. You can't even express yourself as a man because.
Wait. Okay. Now let me disagree. Let me disagree. No, no.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Hold on, guys. Guys, I gotta give it to Sean right now. I'm sorry. Sean, quickly say something.
Go ahead, bro.
What I will say about this whole thing is, as has been said before, there have been choices of women that have wanted to be in that housewife role to stay home and take care of the homestead while the man goes out and does what he did as the choice. But to say that women weren't quote-unquote subservient and they didn't do a lot of things, you got to remember back in those days, the way society was, as we said before, we talked about this also, women didn't get as many of the, although there are more choices today for women to go and get the work that they're looking for, they're still not getting paid anywhere near the amount of money that they should be getting paid. And although the options are still out there, we're still in a society where males dominate everything, from paychecks to who gets the jobs, who's hiring, et cetera. Back in the 50s, there was so little choice for that same exact amount of work and recognition. So to say that, well, women, they did what they were able to do, and they were able to do that and be happy or whatever was the case, most of that is because they are living in the society that they were raised and brought up in to be slotted into that spot, to be able to live in that time period. That doesn't make it any better or if it's a good choice or not. And I think that we have to start looking at it from the sense of women are still trying to get an evolution of where they would like to be, and that is parity with men. They don't have the same parity, and the reason why I'm saying that is because the pay gap isn't the same. The opportunities may be better than they once were, but it's still not of the same. It's not of the same.
Oh, I gotta have a show on this. I'm gonna have to have 2 hours on this. Sean, I disagree with you totally. Okay,
55% that.
55% of managers are women. 55% of college students are women. Black women, from what I understand, are making more money than black men. Back in the 50s, 40s, when you're talking about the lack of opportunity, you can talk to feminists, and they will tell you the opportunities were there. Also, as black men, if you remember, your grandmothers and mothers were working. And I remember black women saying, you know what? The feminist movement, the liberation, was meant for white women because we black women, we've been working all our lives. So if black women had jobs, let me tell you something. White women didn't have jobs because they didn't want jobs. They went to college. And they went to college not only to get an education, but to land a man. The number
He's
one.
He's got a point there. He's got a point. He does have a point. I'm not going to lie. He does. Yeah, I can't believe I don't agree with Joe a lot tonight. That's weird for me. Mark this down. Okay.
The number one money gatherer. The number one money gatherer for women still today for assets is marrying a man. They get their assets through marrying up, just like they did back then. Well,
You know who will agree with you on that? Dr. Dre. He will agree with Joe 100%.
Dr.
Dre's ex-wife made a fortune from Dr. Dre.
Definitely.
From the marriage. But, wow. I have to say.
But remember now.
Wait. What about that? What about that basketball player? That young kid? I don't remember his name.
Some of these basketball players.
Oh. Yeah,
Brother B, not even the individual case. Your mothers and grandmothers worked. I'm going to bet your mothers and grandmothers worked. If black women could get jobs back in the 40s and 50s and 60s when racism was at its height, then how come white women couldn't?
You're right.
And you're right. And Brother B, I know what you're talking about. The porn star who said, go get a printed by a basketball player so you can have a child for the next 18 years.
I know what you're talking about.
Remember? I forgot her name, but yes.
I think
that's
her name
what,
that's
is how King. You get payment.
Yeah, she hoodwinked Rodney Colt. Oh, the guy from the Bulls. I forgot his name. Oh shit.
That Sean, you should know. Time is running
apparently,
out.
Apparently,
she
followed, she
went
she
to jail
followed,
for fraud.
Whole, she
oh yeah,
whole,
I know who you're
career.
Talking about, but the name escapes me right now. I know who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, she.
Well, guys,
she went to jail for fraud.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much, guys. We probably continue this again next week. Have a good night. Stay safe. God bless. Take care, guys.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
All right, guys. All right. The pleasure is all yours. Good night.